Following are comments on Shakespeare's Hamlet, Act 4. My thoughts be bloody or be nothing worth. Hamlet draws inspiration from Fortinbras's men marching off to war. In Act 4, Scene 1, young Fortinbras makes his way through Denmark on his way to Poland, and the captain sums up the mission. Quote unquote, "We go to gain a little patch of ground that hath in it no profit but the name." Act 4, Scene 1, lines 17 through 18. Hearing this, Hamlet rededicates himself to vengeance. He admires Fortinbras and his men for, quote unquote, "exposing what is mortal and unsure to all that fortune, death, and danger dare, even for an eggshell." Act 4, Scene 1, lines 50 through 52. Hamlet's new resolution is, quote unquote, "Oh, from this time forth, my thoughts be bloody or be nothing worth." Act 4, Scene 1, alternative numbering 9, lines 64 through 65. This vow, as we shall see, is no more permanent than the ones Hamlet made earlier, and his path to revenge will differ from the one such a statement seems to portend. Part of the interest in Hamlet is that not only is the time, quote-unquote, out of joint, so is the hero. He is not well adapted to the traditional revenger's role, not at once subservient and yet heroic in the old medieval fashion. The romantic reading of the tragedy in which Hamlet is too aloof, too philosophical, too modern to carry out his task is worthy of respect. To be blunt, it just isn't in the Prince of Denmark's nature to be easily circumscribed by revenger's vows. Hamlet is a young man with his whole life before him, yet he is subjected to the will of an imperious dead father. As such, he is another casualty of what, in Civilization and Its Discontents and elsewhere, Sigmund Freud casts as the long-standing struggle between individuals in their quest for satisfaction and the demands of a cruel, irrational society, one that expresses itself through the demands of an exacting, unforgiving superego. I cannot choose but weep. Ophelia sings mad ballads while the court around her spins out of control, with Laertes hotly demanding an explanation of Polonius's death. In Act 4, Scene 2, Ophelia's madness dismays Gertrude. The queen says, quote unquote, "To my sick soul, as sin's true nature is, each toy seems prologue to some great amiss." Act 4, Scene 2, lines 17 through 18. Has she resisted admitting Ophelia into her presence because the young woman might trigger her guilty conscience? What guilt, then? Ophelia's songs have to do with death uncommemorated and men's betrayal of women. Claudius is moved by Ophelia's distress and infers that her sorrow, quote unquote, springs all from her father's death. Act 4, Scene 2, lines 74 through 75. Her mournful words, quote unquote, "I cannot choose but weep to think that they would lay him in the cold ground," suggest as much. Act 4, Scene 2, lines 68 through 70. Ophelia has been used even by the father she mourns, and she has also been abandoned by Hamlet. Later, in Act 5, Scene 2, Hamlet justifies the deaths of Rosencrantz and Guildenstern to Horatio by saying, quote unquote, "'Tis dangerous when the baser nature comes between the pass and fell in censed points of mighty opposites." Act 5, Scene 2, lines 59 through 61. Ophelia has paid the price, too. Claudius is stricken at the pace of bad events that he and Gertrude now confront. He says to the queen, quote unquote, "When sorrows come, they come not single spies, but in battalions." Act 4, Scene 2, lines 77 through 78. Then Laertes bursts in, with the common folk at his back, proclaiming him the new king. Laertes presents an obvious contrast with Hamlet. Unlike the prince, Laertes is determined to, quote-unquote, sweep to his revenge. He has no scruples about revenge, shouting at the king and everyone else, quote-unquote, to hell allegiance, vows to the blackest devil, conscience and grace to the profoundest pit, I dare damnation. Act 4, Scene 2, lines 131 through 133. Listening to the fiery Laertes, we may be put in mind of Sir Francis Bacon's fine observation in his 1623 essay of revenge, that the behavior in question amounts to, quote-unquote, a kind of wild justice, that if fully carried out, quote-unquote, putteth the law out of office. Claudius temporizes adroitly with Laertes, but it's hard to miss the irony in his declaration to Gertrude that, quote-unquote, there's such divinity doth hedge a king that treason can but peep to what it would, acts little of his will. Act 4, Scene 2, lines 123 through 125. Clearly, this truism afforded Hamlet Sr. no protection from Claudius. Still, Claudius deftly steers Laertes' rage away from his own person and toward that of his enemy, Hamlet. When Ophelia re-enters and sings haunting ballads, Laertes bewails his sister's madness, and he and Claudius point out that the songs lack coherence, but not significance. Ophelia hands out rosemary for remembrance, pansies for thoughts, fennel, columbines, and rue. These natural beauties are the elements of an Elizabethan language for expressing broad experience and sentiment. An illustrated book by Jane Giraud, spelled G-I-R-A-U-D, The Flowers of Shakespeare, was published in 1848 and remains informative on this subject of the language of flowers. Ophelia's disordered mind registers the corruption and disorder around her, beautifying it with floral symbolism and songs. She has lost her father, and Gertrude will wear her, quote-unquote, rue with a difference, because she has supposedly lost her son to England. Act 4, Scene 2, lines 170 through 171 and 174 through 179. Ophelia is the kingdom's blighted flower, the beauty and innocence that has been sacrificed to ambition and lust. Her descent into madness, and soon her death, mark Denmark's degeneracy even more clearly than the play's violence. They have dealt with me like thieves of mercy. Hamlet has sent Horatio a letter announcing his return to Denmark after a perilous sea voyage. Hamlet will soon meet with Horatio and explain further. In Act 4, Scene 3, Horatio at Elsinore receives a letter from Hamlet telling him that the prince is back in Denmark after becoming the sole prisoner of pirates who tried to take their ship as they crossed to England. These men, says Hamlet, have treated him, quote-unquote, like thieves of mercy. Act 4, Scene 3, line 19. They expect ransom. Hamlet indicates that he has enclosed additional letters for the king himself, after which Horatio is to depart from Elsinore and rendezvous with Hamlet, who will offer a fuller explanation. There is a willow grows askant the brook. Claudius plots with Laertes to finish off Hamlet in a fencing match, and Ophelia drowns in a brook. In Act 4, Scene 4, the king explains to Laertes that Hamlet, not he, was responsible for the death of his father Polonius, and that he found it necessary to avoid confronting the prince because of Gertrude and the people's fondness. A messenger arrives with Hamlet's letter to the king. Another is for Gertrude. The letter is ominous but opportune. It begins, quote-unquote, high and mighty, you shall know I am set naked on your kingdom, and promises that Hamlet will soon explain his return. Act 4, Scene 4, lines 42 through 43. To satisfy Laertes, Claudius must now change his plan. No longer will he simply explain that he has had the prince sent to his, quote-unquote, present death in England. Instead, he will plot against the still-living Hamlet. The king promises Laertes, quote-unquote, "I will work him to an exploit now ripe in my device, a plan that will keep the blame for Hamlet's death away from them." Act 4, Scene 4, lines 61 through 62. Claudius now sees in Laertes his earthly salvation. The young hothead promises that he would do no less to Hamlet than, quote-unquote, "cut his throat in the church." Act 4, Scene 4, line 125. Claudius, therefore, lays out the plot he has contrived. There must be a fencing match on offer, since the king knows Hamlet is jealous of Laertes' reputation. Laertes will choose an unblunted rapier and use it to give Hamlet a fatal wound. Act 4, Scene 4, lines 84 through 88. Laertes adds a master stroke. He will dip the rapier's point into a lethal, quote-unquote, unction that he bought from an apothecary. Act 4, Scene 4, line 140. As surety, Claudius will offer Hamlet a poisoned wine chalice during the fencing match, just in case the rapier device fails. Act 4, Scene 4, lines 156 through 160. Next comes the sad news that Ophelia has drowned. Gertrude's beautiful description of Ophelia's death honors her loss, but it can't redeem the mistreatment and neglect that caused her untimely end. Act 4, Scene 4, lines 165 through 182. The death isn't described as suicide, though the priests who assist with the funeral rites seem to believe it was. Gertrude's description, which begins, quote-unquote, "there is a willow grows ascant the brook," suggests that Ophelia, as noted in the Norton edition of Hamlet, was attempting to perform a traditional rite of spurned lovers, to hang garlands on willow tree branches. A thin branch broke and, quote-unquote, "down her weedy trophies and herself fell in the weeping brook." Act 4, Scene 4, lines 172 through 174. Ophelia continued to sing until her clothing became saturated with water and dragged her down. Gertrude describes her as, quote-unquote, "like a creature native and endued unto that element." Act 4, Scene 4, lines 178 through 179. From this description, it sounds as if Ophelia simply didn't understand what was happening. So much for Claudius's command that she should be carefully attended to. Thanks for listening. This audio lecture was recorded on Sunday, February 8th, 2026. The foregoing material is copyright 2026 by Alfred J. Drake. For quotations, I have relied on the Norton Shakespeare 3rd edition, 4-volume genre-based format.